content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Now, our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 3rd through Sunday, April 9th, 2023, and of course, this is Holy Week 2023. The commentary for the month of April was written by Kim Becker, a priest and poet of Euro and Cherokee descent who serves in North Dakota. She is a former hospice and ICU trauma chaplain and is trained as a racial healer. The commentary for Monday, April 3rd begins as follows with the passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 3. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Here's the commentary for this day. I once received a very unexpected generous gift from loving people, but I did not feel worthy of accepting it. Not wanting to hurt their feelings, I confided in a friend who gently chided me about not having humility to accept this nard moment. Well, Jesus accepted Mary's gift, whereas Judas viewed the gift as wasteful, suggesting they sell the perfume and give the money to the poor. Jesus saw through his ruse. Judas was the bookkeeper and intended to pocket the proceeds, and told Judas to leave her alone. Jesus had the humility to accept Mary's gift, even though the nard foreshadowed the perfume of his burial. As we enter Holy Week, we can sometimes cling to notions of our unworthiness and bemoan our sins and shortcomings. But Holy Week is a time when we are invited to claim our dignity as being made in God's image and to receive the gift of God's extravagant love. It is our nard moment if we will but receive the gift. And now I'll read from the full passage for today from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. And the forward movement question for this Monday in Holy Week is this: what gifts from God can you graciously receive this week? Now let's look at the commentary for Tuesday in Holy Week, Tuesday, April 4th. Beginning with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26b. not many of you were wise by human standards. My family and friends tease me that even with 2 graduate degrees, the most basic things often elude me. During my first North Dakota winter, I noticed my car's backup camera wasn't working and was prepared to take my Subaru to the shop when a friend casually wiped off the camera lens with his thumb, immediately restoring it to functionality. I have what my grandfather called book learning, but not his common sense and life wisdom. Well, thank goodness the Creator can still use me as a vessel. Thank goodness we don't all need a seminary degree to be ministers, for we are all ministers by virtue of our baptism, just as we are all theologians, because we can all talk about God. The disciples weren't always quick studies either, but that didn't stop them from fighting over who was greatest. If we are not wise by human standards, we certainly are not wise by God's standards. We can't study our way into heaven, eternal life, and our enjoyment of God. But the kingdom of God is already near us if we have the wisdom to recognize it. And now I'm going to read from the entire scripture passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is verses 18 to 31. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And the Forward Movement question for this day: in what areas do you need to seek God's wisdom? The commentary for Wednesday in Holy Week, April 5th, begins with a passage from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1a. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. As a priest, one of the most moving parts of Holy Eucharist is when I get to pray with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. This is a time when Chronos, our time, and Kairos, God's time, collapse. I can feel the presence of all the faithful people, spiritual ancestors who have gone before me, and before those gathered in community. If I am wearing my late dad's vestments, then I often feel his presence with me as well. It is what the Celts would call a thin place. Native cultures honor elders, looking to them for guidance, for living in balance with the Creator. Some churches have a service of tenebrae, Latin for darkness, during Holy Week. I was scared of this service as a child because of the loud earthquake sound at the end. The church I attended had a massive organ and the floor would literally rumble. Yet the light was always brought back out. We were not left in the dark after all. In Jungian psychology, the shadow side is not bad, but it must be brought into the light. Our spiritual ancestors can help us do that. And now I'm going to read that full passage from today. It's fairly short. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. And the moving forward passage for this Wednesday in Holy Week, what do we want to pass down before we join that great cloud of witnesses? Now let's turn to the commentary for Maundy Thursday, Thursday, April 6th. It begins with the Psalm 116, verse 12, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Here's today's commentary. I have taken three vows in my life thus far, wedding vows and two ordination vows, deacon and priest. I regret to say that after 25 years, I could no longer honor my marriage vows. I had to choose my own safety and well-being. My vows as an ordained minister have likewise not always been easy. After being treated terribly by a parish, I was so disillusioned that I told my bishop I wanted to renounce my vows. Thankfully, he would not accept my decision without a cooling-off period, after which I realized I had mistaken the fallible church as institution for God. That's embarrassing to admit as a priest, but I am human. Jesus gave us the commandment to love one another, but there are times when I have failed to live up to this mandate, and times when I've experienced others' failure as well. Even when we're not able to love one another, God loves us and gives us an example of humility. Honoring vows takes love and humility. And now I'm going to read from the full passages here for today. It's the Gospel of John, chapters 13, verses 1 through 17, and verses 31b through 35. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that this hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to be washed, except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And the moving forward question for this day, Maundy Thursday, do you need help in living into your vows? Pray for guidance and support. And now we have reached the commentary for Good Friday, Friday, April 7th, beginning with the passage from Hebrews 10, verses 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Good Friday, the great vigil and ordination services have my favorite collect. It begins, O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, by the effectual working of your providence. Carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him. On this day, when we remember Jesus' crucifixion, may we also remember that our hope for this church is the hope of the cross. Despite pain and suffering, and despite the church's complicity at times with cultural genocide of native peoples, there is still hope for racial healing, for listening to one another's stories without judgment, for new ways of being and doing church. Before we confess our hope, we must first confess our sins, the ways in which we have sought not God's will, but our will. Have mercy, Lord. And now read the full passage from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the moving forward question for Good Friday 2023 is this: pray this prayer today and confess your sins to God. Now the commentary for Holy Saturday, April 8th. It begins with a passage from the Old Testament, chapter of Job 14, 1b, few of days and full of trouble. As a hospice chaplain, my very first funeral was for Flo, a Jewish woman who had been a card shark in Atlantic City when she was younger. I am terrible at cards, but Flo was her old self when we played. Although she could not remember the names of family members, she remembered how to play cards. The staff at the nursing home would gather around in amazement. Her family shared that Flo had a hard life, and although her days were not exactly few, she lived into her 80s, her life had been full of trouble. Yet her funeral was a joyous occasion during which I honored her religious tradition as best I could, not invoking Christ, but the God of love we both believed in. Flo taught me that despite the tenuousness of life, despite the troubles, there is still room for joy. Holy Saturday is that in-between space, after trouble and before joy. Be here now. And the gospel passage from Job is chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. There was once a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold feasts in one another's houses in turn, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the feast days had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And this is what Job always did. One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, all that he has is in your power, only do not stretch out your hand against him." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were feeding beside themselves, and the Sabaeans fell on them and carried them off and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you." And the moving forward commentary concludes this day with this: if you can, attend an Easter vigil this evening, Holy Saturday, and experience the transition from the sorrow of Christ's death to the joy of his resurrection. And now the commentary for Easter, Sunday, April 9th. It begins with a passage from Colossians 3, verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. One of my favorite hymns, number 104 in the Episcopal Church's hymnal, is called A Stable Lamp is Lighted, with words by the poet Richard Wilbur. My choir hated it when I wanted to sing it at Christmas, as it isn't all about Christmas, but that's why I like it. It takes us through the whole story and reminds us that Easter is not possible without Christmas, that even though we have liturgical seasons, our lives as Christians are bound up in the totality of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Our hymns contain theology, although I avoid militaristic ones, and so we have the adage that she who sings prays twice. On this day of resurrection, we remember that the man who hung on the cross was the baby in the manger and is now risen, wounded Lord. Our own lives are a song from birth to death to life again with Christ. And that is why, even at the grave, we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And now I'll read the full passage from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And the moving forward question for this Easter Day 2023 is this: what hymn sings to you about Christ's life? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. I hope you have a wonderful, happy Easter season. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.